broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June the 20th. In the year of our Lord, 2016, this is hour one of two, and our goal, incredibly simple, is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. The checks and balance is absolutely the solution to the problems we face. A good, honest, moral people using the checks and balances simply cannot be beat. The founders bled, died, suffered, lost their fame, their fortunes, and their sacred honor in the cause of liberty, all for us. Will we put a little bit into the sacred cause as well to not lose the heritage, the traditions of our founders? That's our prayer, that we don't need a revolution, but a resolution. Wow, we don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth certainly ought be the order of the day. A quick recap of Friday's broadcast, then we'll launch into today's News the Networks Refuse to Use show. On Friday, we talked about a new additional show to Liberty News Radio. For the People used to be Chuck Harder's program. Now Keith Allen carries the program forward. It's at 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, Mountain Time on Liberty News Radio. ForThePeopleShow.com if you want to learn more about that broadcast. Anyway, good for Keith Allen and crew doing a great job. We welcome them to the team. And anyway, that's wonderful news. We also talked about Smith & Wesson beats profit forecast by 22%. Pretty nifty, huh? Give up your guns. That's what the mainstream press is saying the government wants, but Drudge calls it as it ought to be. Hey, Department of Homeland Security, why don't you guys go first? Drudge says, you know, we'll start with you people. WorldNet Daily brought the details forward on that. Good for Drudge, good for WND. Warning signs were everywhere with the Orlando shooter. Florida shop refused to sell guns to the very odd Orlando attacker. You know, work colleagues got it. Gun shops, several of them got it. The FBI missed it. Gun shop owner says, we even called the FBI after Mr. Mateen tried to buy body armor. Wow. And bulk ammunition. Mateen searched social media services for news of the killings while carrying it out. He had 5 Facebook accounts. The gunman in Orlando, believe it or not, even posted to Facebook during the nightclub attack. How all this is happening while he changes, while he reloads, if you will, changes magazines, how he never got stopped is beyond me. Believe it or not, Omar Mateen was even texting his wife during the shooting to ask if she had seen the news. Witnesses says that the Muslim shooter claimed multiple accomplices. WorldNet Daily, Jerome Corsi. School records paint disturbing background of Orlando shooter, USA Today, starting from the third grade on. They say AR-15s are flying off shelves after the event. Homeland Security is worried that right-wing extremists pose the same threat. Well, I would say extremists of all kinds pose threats. There's no doubt about that. But I think Homeland Security and the FBI pose a threat. Usually they're in the mix for almost every one of these. Former Congressman Steve Stockman tweets, Orlando massacre would not have happened in a Texas bar. Why? Because we shoot back, says Steve Stockman. I guess there's an immigrant, Muhammad McAdam, takes hostages at an Amarillo Walmart. He was shot dead by the cops. The economy's growing at a snail's pace. USA Today. The Federal Reserve made a stark concession. The economy is likely to grow at a listless pace for the next, well, for the foreseeable future, they say. Policymakers raising eyebrows by predicting less hikes and smaller hikes in the interest rate. In the interest rate, they say, because of the persistent headwinds to economic growth. Those hurdles include, listen carefully, meager productivity gains, an aging labor force, low household formation, and a weak global economy, Fed Chairman Janet Yellen said. Wow. We also talked about the movie Patch Adams, cost $90 million to produce. The box office brought in $202 million, profitable for sure. Kurt loved the movie, encourages y'all to watch it. Dan Rather says, I can see Trump winning, and Clinton backers ought to be really worried about that. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, we talked about the FBI entrapment fuels terror, not stops it. Article written by Anthony Cartolucci, doing a great job. American missionary, guy's name is Kenneth Bay, held captive in North Korea. He astounded the guards there. A missionary. What, following the Prince of Peace? Interesting, huh? Doing the math, does peeing save water? Might be embarrassing to admit, but you know what? If you've done it, you're not alone. Strange stuff. That we're discussing that stuff instead of solutions for America. Disney's Finding Dory climbs aboard the transgender wagon. Sad to say stuff. All right, that's a recap that took place. Hope you're all enjoying the broadcast already. Friday's broadcast is available on demand at your fingertips via your Roku player and or at libertyroundtable.com. Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kurt Cosby with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, my friend. A big shout out to you. Hope you had a delightful weekend and an incredible Father's Day.
That was very nice, I thought.
All right.
How was yours?
It was wonderful. God, family, country weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Life, liberty, property, you know, the whole bit. It was phenomenal.
Very good.
And so a shout out to everyone for Father's Day. And one of our listeners and a fellow talk show host who does the Restore the Republic talk show, his name is Kevin. He's a listener as well. And he says, so America, an afterthought to Father's Day. Have we honored our founding fathers? Have you honored your founding fathers by dedicating yourself to their noble and holy cause? Wow. Have you honored your father in heaven? He says, I ask because if we did, we'd be in a good shape. America would be very different today if we had really honored our Father in heaven. And I thought it was such a brilliant start to the broadcast today as we wished everybody a happy Father's Day, Kurt, that I just had to quote Kevin exactly. He's right as rain. Have you thought about honoring your founding fathers by carrying forward their legacy? Have you honored your Father in heaven by keeping his commandments? If we would do that, we'd have a very different America today. And boy, do I agree with that, Kurt. Anyway, good for Kevin. Thank you, sir. You're right on target. Is Lowell with us now? Hi, Lowell.
Good morning, Sam and Kurt. How are you?
Happy Father's Day, my friend.
Thank you very much. Same to you.
What do you think of Kevin's assertion? You know, have you honored your founding fathers, thinking of Father's Day? And have you honored your heavenly father? I think it's brilliant commentary.
I agree, Sam. In fact, I was thinking about that yesterday as I was considering what topics I wanted to prepare to discuss this morning. I thought about my Heavenly Father, and I also thought about the founding fathers here of our country, and not only them, but those who made it possible to do what they did. Obviously, they stood on the shoulders of the giants before them. People like Gutenberg, for example, who invented the movable type press, that enabled a number of reformers to spread the good word of God in the Bible and other books. And, you know, they're just marvelous things happened during the so-called Dark Ages, the middle of the Renaissance and so forth, to make it possible that this country come into existence. And so revering them and honoring them by holding true to the legacy they bought for us with their lives and their treasure, I think it's very appropriate to consider on Father's Day.
Amen to that. And we really think about all the negativity that's gone on in recent times. nine times out of ten, if we had good fathers staying at home, these problems wouldn't be occurring. When we have proper leadership and properly structured homes based on God's laws and things, I'm not saying you never have problems, Lowell, but you know what? Most of the problems we face go away.
Well, we need parents who are interested in their children. And obviously, children function better. They're better prepared for the vicissitudes of life if they have both parents in the home. But where only single mom or single dad's available, I my hat's off to them who do a ton for their children. But
amen to that. Quick pause. Back in seconds, Lowell Nelson riding shotgun, our guest.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Do you want to fix America's police and take the country back in the process? If you answered yes, then CSPOA needs you. CSPOA.org, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is an organization comprised of citizens, sheriffs, police, and other government officials. We are taking America back sheriff by sheriff, county by county, and state by state. And we need you. Over 300 sheriffs constitutionally trained, we teach public servants the Constitution and need your help. Become a part of the solution today at CSPOA.org. Are you a business owner who offers high-quality products, services, or solutions? Do you love America and want your business to support a freedom-loving cause that will help defend the Constitution? Well, if the above describes your company, then I want to connect you with my loyal and like-minded listeners. Contact me at RestoreTheRepublicShow.com, and I will personally consult with you to build a sponsorship package that will grow your business. Support a message of freedom and become a sponsor of the Restore the Republic Show today. Together, we will restore the Republic.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Lowell Nelson riding shotgun on the broadcast today. CampaignForLiberty.org is his website. The folks at Campaign for Liberty doing a great job. Out of the Fed has an update, Lowell.
It sure does, Sam. The last time we discussed this, just 2 short weeks ago, the H.R. 24 audit the Fed bill in the House had 194 sponsors. Today, it has 200, so 6 more than when we last talked about it. All 4 of Utah's representatives have co-sponsored it now. The chairman of the committee, Jason Chaffetz, was the last to co-sponsor it. He had told me before that he didn't want to co-sponsor it until after it went through his committee, and now that it has passed his committee and has a recommendation to be heard on the floor of the House, he has signed on to that, and I expect him I fully expect him to vote for it. In fact, all four of our reps to vote for it when it comes up for a vote. But we need to get more senators. We need at least 18 more. I'm not senators. I meant representatives. At least 18 more representatives to co-sponsor that to guarantee, you know, that it has enough support to gain approval in the House. And some people may be wondering, Sam, why should we push the House to pass this bill in light of the fact that the Senate, voted it down last year? Well, it turns out that the Senate didn't actually vote it down. They simply refused to vote on it. And so once the House moves on this bill, approves it, moves it to the Senate, then the pressure on the Senate to consider that bill will become immense. And we will most likely get a recorded vote on the bill. And doing that in an election year is like gold, Sam, because then senators have to go on the record as either supporting or opposing a measure to simply audit the Fed, asking for more transparency of the monetary operations of this institution. And so it's a win-win for us. It's a win-win for the American people, because if your senator votes against the bill, then he increases the likelihood of losing his seat in the Senate, because people will be outraged that he voted against transparency. And on the other hand, if your senator votes for the bill, you know, even if he doesn't believe in it, it might still pass, and we could finally bring additional transparency to the audit Fed operations. And so, as you know, Sam and Kurt, auditing the Fed is simply the first step on the path to end the Fed and restore this country to a just system of weights and measures. We are in dire need, and when you talked earlier about obeying the commandments of God, this is one of them, and that is to operate by a just system of weights and measures. When we don't have that, then we go downhill fast in terms of morality and economic influence in our country. Sam?
You know, this is an important vote, folks. And a lot of people say, Sam, we can't win. Can't make a difference on this. Why not give up? You know what? They're going to take off early for the election season. Anyway, because we got to understand that the more we push this, the more it's talked about. The more it's talked about, the more traction we get. The more traction we get, eventually we will win on this thing. We're still shy by 18 in the House, which baffles me that we're shy 18. It seems like to me the Republicans should join together and get this done immediately, but they haven't. However, we show steady progress, though. And all four of Utah representatives have now signed on. That's a big change, too, right?
That's right.
That's huge. Again, it just goes to show that we can make a difference. Now, what's also interesting, people say, why push H.R. 24 in the House? See, the Senate already voted it down, right? Wrong, lol.
That's right, Sam, because the Senate actually did not vote on the bill to approve or reject it. They simply voted not to consider the bill, the Senate bill, the Senate version of this audit the Fed bill that Rand Paul introduced last year. And so it's not fair to say that the Senate rejected the bill. They simply rejected consideration of a vote on the bill. But if this House passes H.R. 24, then the pressure will become so immense on the Senate that they will be forced to consider it. Now, this is one of the things that the Campaign for Liberty teaches and trains its members and fellow activists on, and that is that we have a great opportunity and influence to push our representatives to do something that they don't want to do. That's what we learn in the Campaign for Liberty. Our political leadership classes, our boot camp, basically, of activism, that the status quo for a politician is exactly where they want to be. They don't want to change anything. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to anger anybody. They don't want to get anybody upset at them. They love to be in a place where they enjoy the adulation of their constituents, and the fellowship of that brotherhood of insiders that they're part of their ball game. But what happens when a ton of angry voters, a ton of angry constituents begin making a noise on one on one issue, they stand up and listen because they don't like angry constituents. They don't like telephone calls. They don't like emails pestering their staffers. They want to sit back and do nothing. They like status quo. And so the more noise we can make and the more pressure we can bring to bear on them and their staffers and their offices, the more likely it is they will act, because they don't like angry voters. And especially during an election year, getting closer and closer to, you know, the general election in November, and this is the best time, the best opportunity that activists have to influence the votes of their elected public servants is right now. And that's why I'm putting out a plea, a call, a challenge for everybody in the country to contact their representative and urge them to get a vote on H.R. 24, audit the Fed.
One of the key points to this as well is, you know what, if we can get the House to stand, the House will vote for it multiple times and bring it up and get it done. What this does is put tremendous pressure on the Senate. And even if we lose in the Senate, we at least force them to go on record to find out who's our friend, who is not, for the next election cycles. Again, every time we increase and ratchet up the pressure, the better for us. And the less the status quo can continue, Lowell.
That's right. In fact, this bill has passed in the House for the last two or three cycles. And it would always pass in the House and then die in the Senate. Pass in the House, die in the Senate. Well, this year, it's going to pass in the House. As if we can put more pressure on the House to consider it, I believe they will pass it. And then it goes to the Senate, where we will finally get them on record on a vote on this bill. And like I said earlier a moment ago, it's a win-win scenario for those who love liberty, because if your senator votes against it, then he is jeopardizing his reelection this year. And if he votes for it, that's a win for us, because a vote for this bill brings us one step closer to more transparency on the operations of the Fed and eventually to ending the Fed. And that's our end game. That's our real goal, to restore to this country a just system of weights and measures where, you know, gold and silver coin, which is what the earliest Congress passed, was a system of weights and measures that were honest, sound. And that's what we need to get back to, Sam.
Well, we talk about audit the Fed, Thomas Massie doing a great job there in the House. But now Thomas Massie teaming up with Walter Jones, they're doing a great job too, but they've been stymied by their own party, sir.
By their own party leadership, Sam. The GOP leaders in the House, stopped Massey and Jones from cutting just a tiny, tiny bit of waste from the appropriations bill. And, you know, I'm pretty informed, Sam, but I did not know about this story. You will be interested in this story when we get back from this upcoming break.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. Sam Bushman, Kirk Cosby. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, riding shotgun on the broadcast today. That's CampaignForLiberty.org. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite news the networks refuse to use radio station.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Donald Trump can't win the White House without locking up the Western states, and he most likely won't be able to do this without the support of Mormon voters. Writing in the New York Times, election analyst McKay Coppins, who is working on a book about the 2016 campaign, notes that the Mormon electorate punches well above its weight in key states like Nevada and Colorado, which once were solidly Republican, but are now considered toss-ups. While Mormons make up only about 3% to 6% of the population in these states, the GOP counts on them, Coppins observes. They have high turnout and a reputation in campaign circles as top-notch canvassers unafraid of knocking on strangers' doors. Yet socially conservative, frugal Mormon voters tend to have a very negative view of Trump, an unabashed adulterer who has posed for Playboy covers. During the primaries, Coppins continues, Mr. Trump was pummeled in the Book of Mormon Belt. In Utah, he suffered one of his worst defeats, finishing dead last with a paltry 14% of the vote. Outside Utah, he often underperformed in counties where Mormons were more heavily concentrated. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, in her recent foreign policy speech, Hillary Clinton focused criticism on three countries, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Kuwait, describing them as state sponsors of terrorist groups seeking to attack the U.S. and Europe. The Daily Caller observes that the governments of this trio of nations have contributed between $16 million and $40 million to the Clinton Foundation. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Two congressmen trying to make a difference. We're talking about Thomas Massie and Walter Jones. They're both trying to block. I'm sorry, they're both trying to cut waste. They've been blocked by their own party for doing so, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. As I didn't know this, but I wanted to bring it to the attention of our listeners. In 1971, when former Speaker John McCormick retired, Congress began funding what they call a post-speaker office. And so basically, once you retire as Speaker of the House, at least since 1971, you would get up to 5 years of paid office staff and franking privileges and office allowances, but, you know, money, so that you can, you know, just kick around and, you know, tie up loose ends, I guess, before you leave Washington, D.C. I don't know what they all do with that office, but it's waste. I mean, there's no way the Constitution, you know, gave room for such a emolument, you know, such a perk to a former Speaker of the House. I mean, once you're a former member of Congress, you're done. You're out of there, and you shouldn't be paid for, you know, whatever you do or whatever you did, you know, while you were serving, right? So along comes Congressman Massie and Jones, and they say, we have an amendment here to defund this post-Speaker office or the ex-Speaker office. And of course, it's not much money compared to the, you know, the $1 billion in the appropriations bill. For example, former Speaker Dennis Hastert spent $1.9 million in taxpayer money running his post-speaker office. And so $1.9 million, obviously that's a huge sum to you and me, but it's a drop in the bucket compared to the entire appropriations bill. And so they wanted to defund that, and that's the job of the House. That's the job of our representatives in Congress, right? You've talked about it. Kurt's talked about it. Chris Ann Hall has talked about it, that the House is responsible for the purse strings of our government. And so, yeah, a along come these two, and they want to just cut this this perk. Well, turns out that the House leadership, obviously the Speaker of the House, the one person who's going to benefit the most from this emolument, they opposed it. They wouldn't even let the House consider this amendment. Can't debate it, can't vote on it, and so it's very frustrating, of course. Congressman Massey, you know, said this federal expense benefits a constituency of one, the ex-speaker. And while this amendment would eliminate a relatively small amount of federal spending, we have to start somewhere if we are serious about addressing our national debt.
Well, and it sets the stage for the discussions of what handouts they ought to get after the fact when they're not serving the American people or anything else. The speaker has a special privilege that's beyond imagination. So does every president of the United States. You know, they get well over $200,000 a year forever after they leave. They get $1 million plus in all kinds of different travel and office expenses, opportunities. I mean, it turns out to be millions and millions and millions of dollars just for former presidents as well. In fact, Kurt's got a table to break that down. We don't have time for that now, but we'll get into that in one of our next broadcasts in the few. Go ahead, Kurt.
Maybe just a quick question about this, Lowell. Do you have any way to access a list that says, hey, these are things we in Congress that we have defunded? I'm kind of thinking it would be a
that list is really, really short small, list. My friend.
I can give you that list right now, Kurt. It's about zero.
See, and that's kind of the problem is they talk big, they sequester, they play games, but they don't really get anything done. And this is an example of really saying, look, we don't have elites in this country, we don't have royalty, if you will, and they ought to not be treated as such. And it starts with the Speaker of House and the presidency, Ron Paul. You know, the president gets like $400,000 a year while he's in office. Ron Paul said, I'll take 90% of that and give it back to the Treasury, and I'll just live on 10%. $40,000 is what he basically said, to lead by example and start these cuts that we need. But again, nobody's serious about these. They get talked about, and then they fall by the wayside. Tragic enough. But anyway, I commend Massey. I commend Jones for their leadership here, and I'm disappointed in the party that shut them down and stymied those people. Let's move on to Ron Paul's column. He wrote an incredible column, as he always does. But in this case, it's hard to see how he can outdo himself, but he's done it again.
Yes. In fact, before I go on to Ron Paul's column, Sam, I just wanted to underscore one thing that you said. The representatives in Congress, they talk big, like you said, but the cuts they talk about, generally speaking, are cuts in increases. And so, you know, they spend $100 this year and $110 next year, but that's because they cut their expectations of 20% increase down to just a 10% increase. And so they still continue to spend more money year over year, even though they're always talking about cuts. It's never a cut in the real amount of money that's spent. It's a cut in the projected increases that they want to spend. And so it's very, very disingenuous, and they need to be called on the carpet for it. And
yeah, it's a lie is what we need to say.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, it's not a cut.
Flat-out lie. And I want to – that's point number one. Point number two, in the second – and I'll end this particular topic on this point, number two, is that this highlights a real problem that we have in each – chamber of the national legislature. The House leadership are the people who decide what and what will not be debated in the House of Representatives. And so if you think you're some upstart young congressman, you can go back and you can introduce a bill or you can introduce an amendment. Well, good luck. If the House leadership opposes you, you are not going to get that on the floor. Or if a committee chairman does not agree with your sentiment of your proposal, you will not get that heard. And the reason the rules are set up this way, now these rules are voted on every 2 years in the House and every 2 years in the Senate. The rules I'm talking about are adopted by the Congress, by each chamber in the national legislature, right? And so if they wanted to, they could change the rules. But they like it this way. This system of patronage serves them so well, it allows them to stay on the status quo. And so they can complain, well, all about House leadership, and it ends up in the camp of just, you know, a small handful of people deciding what gets debated in our Congress. And it's really insidious, Sam and Kurt. It's the insiders truly do rule the roost there, and they are controlled by the lobbyists and the special interests, the corporate interests, who peddle their influence with their money just among that short list of people at the top of the House and at the top of the Senate. And it's diabolical, you guys. And I think we need to hit up the representatives. We need to push them to look at those rules and make it more fair, so that if you're a member of the House, you should be able to bring something up for consideration and not get shut down by House leadership. My opinion.
Well, and there you go. And that's why it's not a left-right battle or a Republican-Democrat battle. It's insiders who have a different agenda versus the rest of us. And that's kind of part of the reason that our founding fathers were against the spirit of party. They knew parties would destroy this country, and you see it today. It's all about the party. You better shut up. You better get in line. You better put the party above your principles, because otherwise you're not part of the party, or you're ridiculed or derailed from any aspirations you may have for any agenda because you haven't played the partisan politics game. And so the founders were very against party for that very reason, Lowell.
Not only that, Sam, but in the mid-1800s, they changed the rules so that committee chairs were appointed by the House Speaker. Prior to that time, for the first 50, 60 years of the House, you know, from 1790 to 1850 or 60 or so there, the entire House would elect chairmen of the committee. And so it was much... better. In other words, you didn't have to influence just one person. I mean, right now the Speaker of the House appoints all those committee chairs. That's a ton of power to give one person. And if he doesn't like a chairman, he can pull the chairmanship, right? And if the chairman goes rogue, he can just pull that seat right out from under that chair and give it to somebody
else.
What does it mean
when the chairman goes rogue?
Yeah, that's when he disagrees with the Speaker of the House.
He doesn't follow what the king says?
Exactly.
That's right. And now and the thing is he can stick with the Constitution. And because he doesn't go along with the insiders who want to betray the Constitution, then he's supposedly rogue, right?
That's right. Yeah. You know, he's probably some terrorist. He's probably some extremist. He's probably, you know, some real dangerous person that wants to abide by the Constitution, you know?
Well, that's how they treated Ron Paul for 30 years, but he still stood his ground. Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. We need more of that. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Lowell Nelson riding shotgun. CampaignForLiberty.org on your favorite talk station.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding
29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free vigor test today. And you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sadly, the topics we have are just too good, and we're running out of time to cover the topics Lowell brought to the table today. So, man, I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have him back more often or do something. So, Lowell, we're talking about auditing the Fed. We're talking about standing up for principle. We're talking about the problems with partisan politics. We're talking about the leadership betraying good, honest congressmen and senators and the American people. Congressman Massey and Walter Jones doing their very best to get rid of the special privilege provided for the speaker. Same thing needs to be done for the president, where they get these incredible stipends at taxpayers' expense. Now, this may not reduce a lot of money, a couple, you know, several million in terms of the billions and trillions they deal with is nothing, but it sets a standard. It sets a train a rolling, so to speak. And for now, it's all talk and no walk. But there are a couple people that are standing up for our cause. Ron Paul was one of them for well over 30 years. Now he writes columns and stands with Campaign for Liberty, does a great job on that. His column, Fascism, a Bipartisan Affliction, a great column. But he goes into a lot of topics here to help people understand, first off, the term what fascism even means. Lowell?
Most people misunderstand fascism, and they use it like an epithet. You know, they call somebody, oh, you fascist, or you evil person, you're a fascist. And they really don't understand what it means. And so Ron Paul, in a very simple way, explains, you know, what it is and what it's not. He says, unlike socialists and communists who seek to abolish private business, fascists are content to let business remain in private hands. And instead, fascists use regulations, mandates, and taxes to control business and run and ruin the economy. A fascist system, then, is one where private businesses serve politicians and bureaucrats, not consumers. And so, you know, that's a pretty simple definition. Obviously, we don't want to go real deep into the definition of it, but I just go that far to so I can ask the question about the American economy. If you look around yourselves right now, Sam and Kurt, you know, how would you answer that question? Do you think that the modern American economy is a fascist economy? How would you answer that question, and why do you think it's important to answer that question? You know, I love the questions that Ron Paul asks. These are introspective, somewhat rhetorical questions, because once we ask that question, then we open it up to the possibility that maybe we are fascist in nature right here in River City, America. Well, fascism benefits big businesses, who can afford the cost of complying with government regulations, right? I mean, that is a hallmark of fascism, is all these regulations, all these mandates, and all these taxes. Well, who is best qualified or best able, I guess, to do that? Well, it's big businesses. They're the ones who can bear that cost. They're the ones who can hire the attorneys, the lobbyists, and so forth to promote those regulations because they want to weed out the competition. They want to discourage small business owners and entrepreneurs. It's the big businesses that can finance this network of lobbyists, journalists, think tanks, bureaucrats, congressional staffers who work behind the scenes to shape the government policy. And so I think it's a very good question for us to be asking. When you look at another example, Obamacare. Is Obamacare socialist or fascist? Well, Ron Paul answers that question for us in his marvelous column. Quote, Obamacare is an example of fascism that is often mislabeled as socialism. Obamacare did not create a government-run single-payer system as would exist under socialism. Instead, Obamacare extended government control over health care via mandates, regulations, and subsidies. The most infamous part of Obamacare, the individual mandate, forces individuals to purchase a product from a private industry. End of quote. So there you have it. That's fascism. And so, he goes on. It's a brilliant, brilliant column. He wouldn't really be a Ron Paul column without a reference to our flawed foreign policy, by the way. He cites it as another example of fascism that enjoys strong bipartisan support. He says, quote, both right-wing neocons and left-wing humanitarian interventionists claim our supposedly noble goals justify any and all actions taken by the U.S. government. Thus, these supposed human rights champions defend preemptive war, torture, and presidential kill list, end of quote. So we have to ask ourselves the question again, Sam, why do members of Congress vote for such intervention? Well, it is because they find a great deal of monetary support in the terms of campaign contributions and fat cat jobs after they leave Congress from companies in the military-industrial complex. Such companies reward these politicians handsomely for voting in ways that destabilize political regimes, stir up convention, and prolong the war efforts. Why? Because it fattens their bottom lines to do so, right? You go blow up all your bombs in some country, then you have to buy more bombs to defend yourself. And then they have shills like Paul Krugman extolling the so-called economic benefits of military spending. It just makes me angry, Sam. Just think of how much richer and more prosperous we would be as a country, as a people, if we directed our energies in productive ways, not destructive ways. And how much safer and more peaceful the people throughout the Middle East would be if we didn't bomb them and induce them to flee their countries for safer parts of the world, seeking asylum. Like
if we had private sector humanitarianism helping them take care of business in their own places, that would be the answer.
You're exactly right, Sam.
All right. John Whitehead wrote a book about this very topic of what is fascism and how does it work. And, people just don't understand the term. But it's called Battlefield America, The War on the American People, Chapter 6, you mentioned, Lowell.
Yes, it's titled Fascism American Style. It features a political cartoon on page 32 there, where he quotes someone named Sinclair Lewis, who said, when fascism comes to America, he wrote this back in, 1932, by the way, this Sinclair Lewis. And so we weren't as fascist then as we are now. But he said, when fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in the flag and carrying a cross. And then he also quoted Bertram Gross, who in part said, in America, it would be super modern and multi-ethnic, as American as apple pie. It would be fascism with a smile. He says, I call it friendly fascism. And what scares me most, he says, is its subtle appeal. End of quote. Boy, that's sobering to me, Sam. It is subtly appealing. You look around, everybody loves the fascism, and it has bipartisan support in Congress. But it's basically today's political class simply wants to use force to reshape society. society in America and society throughout the world. I urge everyone to read this column in its entirety and listen to what Ron Paul says. He ends the column with these words, quote, "This is the defining characteristic not just of fascists, but also of authoritarians. The true anti-fascists are those who reject the initiation of force. The true path to real free markets, peace, and individual liberty starts with rejecting the bipartisan authoritarianism in favor of the non-aggression principle," end of quote.
Amen to that. Now, by the way, we're about out of time, but I want to get to this. You wanted to mention the elections, Lowell.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Sam. The elections in Utah, primary elections on Tuesday, June 18th. That's just a week from tomorrow. That's 8 days from now. And Campaign for Liberty.
You said June 18th. You don't mean June 18th, right?
Oh, I beg your pardon. Thank you very much. June 28th. Yes, the 18th is past.
Yeah, so June 28th, a week from tomorrow.
Thank you for that correction. Now, the Campaign for Liberty is not a partisan organization. We may not electioneer for any candidate as an organization, but we do strongly encourage our members to champion issues, to get out there, vet the candidates, and support the candidates of their choice, and to choose candidates who support the mission of the Campaign for Liberty, which is to promote and defend these great American principles of individual liberty, constitutional government, sound money, free markets, and a non-interventionist foreign policy. That's what we stand for, those five principles, fundamental principles. And so I'm urging everyone in Utah to vote on June 28th, 8 days from now, Tuesday, June 28th, because that is, you know, some people ask me, Sam, why go vote? Why participate? I mean, this system is such a, you know, a pit right now. What difference does it make? Well, I'm telling you that it does make a difference. Bad politicians will lose their seat of power, and good constitutionally grounded citizens will gain a seat of power if truly informed citizens vote for those candidates who will uphold the Constitution of the United States and their state constitution.
You also make the point it is better not to vote than to cast an uninformed vote. I agree with your point, but neither are acceptable in America today, sir.
You're exactly right, Sam. We must do more each and every day to promote the cause of liberty. Let's go do it.
You might ask, why vote? So bad politicians lose their seats of power and good, constitutionally grounded citizens gain an opportunity, a seat of power for solutions. Lowell, my friend, thank you so much.
You're very welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Doing a tremendous job, as always. There's Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Doing a great job. Become part of the solutions today. Lowell setting a great example to do just that. We the people can restore the republic, folks. It'll take work, but this nation shall endure.